This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, February the 20th, 2009.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
The corn-to-bean ratio is closing. Will it cause a new acreage mix in the countryside? We'll ask that and many other questions today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with University of Illinois Extension ag economist Daryl Good. Our panelists in studio today are Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Bridget Chenoweth of AgriVisor LLC from Bloomington, Illinois. Hear the way the numbers settled in Chicago on the week, and remember these are composite trades day and night on the weekly. March contract this week in the wheat pit, a high of 537 and a quarter, a low at 504 and a half. Settlement price there, 16 and a quarter cents lower for the March at $5.19 and a quarter. The harvest month, July at 542 and a quarter, lost 18 and a half cents week over week. March corn futures at 365 and a half top for the week, the low at 342. Settlement price at 350 and a quarter, down 13 cents. In December corn, $3.89 and three quarters. Settlement price on the week, 15 and three quarter cents lower from the previous Friday. March soybean futures, $9.60 the high, the low at 854. Settlement price, 93 cents lower at $8.62 and a half. And November, 830 and a half. The harvest month soybeans down 62 cents on the week. From the CME Group's livestock side, live cattle futures had a high of $82.90 in the February contract, a low at $79.55. Settlement price at $80.67.5, down $3.37.5. The March feeder cattle at $88.37.5 finished $6.10 lower. And the April lean hogs this week, $62 the high, the low at $57.85. A settlement price at $57.95, down $5.80.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open our discussion with this question. Wayne, we did close the ratio between corn and soybeans this week. Will it make a difference in crop insurance decisions and acreage decisions that farmers will be making in the next several weeks?
Well, Todd, I think two things. Number one, it's going to make a little bit of a break or decision here just with corn prices going down to these levels. We've seen the fertilizer prices drop over the last month and come down, and it would have been nice if the corn price could have stayed the same and we could have been figuring a profit. It's dead right now. It doesn't show a profit on paper raising corn. So that's one of the reasons that I think that a lot of people are shifting towards the beans. The other thing is all the acres we see showing up from lost cotton acres, the Cotton Institute saying less cotton acres, less wheat being planted, whatever. The Mid-South has a tendency to generally plant corn or beans or milo over corn. So it looks like we're going to see some more bean acres because of that. But that's one of the things that we're looking at. So I think that we will stay with more bean acres than expected earlier.
Pete Manhart?
I think here in the Midwest, most people will say close to the rotation they had, but a few will go to a few more beans. As Wayne said, in the South, we've got cotton acres. We've also got wheat acres that are going to go to beans. So right, and a rice acre. So right there is 5 to 6 million in those areas. And then you've got corn acres and places on minimal soils that will go to bean acres.
And Bridget Chenoweth.
I do think that there probably will be a little bit more beans put in the ground this year, but I think the biggest unknown factor is going to be weather. And if, you know, if we come out into a nice spring and conditions are ripe, I think that, you know, maybe some more acres could get could get shifted back into corn.
Should producers be considering marketing either corn and soy or soybeans old crop at this point?
Well, I think right now, I mean, especially after we saw this strong break to the downside, we have to kind of sit back and see if we can get a little bit of a lift in prices and then try and regroup. And then once we do see a little bit of a bounce, that could be a point where we at least start to make some initial sales.
Well, hopefully old crop sales are about finished up. But if not, on any bounces, you need to catch up. And on new crop, I would be selling beans because of the additional acres. I would be holding off on new crop corn. But on bounces up, I would be trying to get most of my old crop gone.
Bridget is agreeing at this point. I saw her nod her head. How about you?
Well, I mean, we have to say I maybe have a little bit of disagreement with Pete because, unfortunately, as all the meetings we've been doing with farmers as of late, we ask who's got corn stored, and most of them have over 50% of their crop still in the bin of the meetings that I've done. So, unfortunately, they haven't moved this crop, and they do have to be worrying some about it along the way. One of the things we want to stress very highly, we were in Terre Haute the other night, Kay Whitlock, very respected cash grain person, telling us that a lot of good farmers were even have corn going out of condition. So we want to talk to our listening audience here today and say, if you have not cored your bins, if you have not climbed to the top of them, please do so and do so soon because this crop is not keeping as well. So we do have a problem with that. We've had some tight basis levels. If you still think the board's going to go on up, let's move some out. Let's core those bins and let's do some basis sales.
Yeah, well, tell me more about the basis sales. We heard more about those last night when we were in Paris, Illinois on Thursday night with First Bank. Kim Holzapfel was there with a group of grain elevators, talked about making some basis sales and really was able to lock in overage on those and to make some basis sales. How do you go about doing it?
Well, of course, you just call your local elevator or check around between your different local elevators and see what they're paying as compared to the Chicago Board of Trade price. A lot of cases, then you haul it in now. You, depending on your elevator, collect anywhere from 20 to 80% of your money and then leave it there and you price it as per one of the futures months later down the road, Todd. So if we're doing it at 10 over and the board's trading at 350, you'd get 360 for your corn the day that you price it.
Well, when you do price it at that point, do you need to turn around and do something in the marketplace and how quickly do you need to do it? Are you speculating on the cash sale at that point if you just have a basis contract?
Yeah, you're still open on that cash sale, so you could go in and use the futures market to help protect yourself because you are still open to that risk.
Is that something that you think a producer needs to do is the question, and how soon do they need to do that if that's the case?
Well, we should have done it 3 weeks ago when we were, you know, $2 higher on beans and $1.20 higher on corn. But if you haven't done it, there's still possibilities of corn going another dollar and beans another two, and you've got to be aware of that and be ready to either put some put spreads on or do something to protect that's unsold that you're not going to sell.
I want Pete's time machine.
so you
I want to
go
back 3 weeks, too. But I think that basically along the way, if you were a holder of flat price grain in the bin, you're just doing the same thing. You're holding the corn, but you are moving along for condition's sake, and you are still playing the same game as far as holding corn that way, Todd. Now, one of the things that we like to emphasize, if you are really scared of this dollar drop, you know, look at a put and do it in the nearby that doesn't cost you quite as much along the way. And the other thing that we can also do when you're doing that, we like the idea of selling a call at the level that you're look above what you're looking for a little bit. Let's say if you really feel corn can go back to $4.20, let's sell a 420 or 430 call at that point in time also to help pay for that put to the downside.
Well, we do have the dollar. It did drop this week, Bridget, and it started to break. But that helped out with the Dow, which actually went back down and traded below that rough time we had earlier or late last year. So what are your thoughts on the export market as it relates to the Dow and the dollar and its strength or weakening, and how do we play that one?
Well, obviously we need the dollar to break, you know, to break further, but I think that weekly export sales have been fairly encouraging, especially over the past couple of months. I know the sales that came out today were at or above trade expectations, so to me that's a little bit of an encouragement.
Right.
I just think that the world economy and the U.S. economy has got everybody in a tizzy, and that's helped push everything down. Nobody knows, are we going to need anything? And right now, we don't need what we have, and that's why prices go down.
Yeah, prices are going down. Tell me about new crop sales, if anything is needed, or how you play new crop, and maybe we'll pull you across the board here on corn and soybeans.
On corn and soybeans, we're just saying just kind of sit back and wait, at least for maybe to make sure that this panic to the downside is over. We're kind of seeing that maybe we could get a little bit of a bounce in prices going into March, and then a little bit a further break into April, and then maybe in the summer, if we get some growing condition problems, we could get a little bit of a lift in prices, and that time initiate some more new crop sales.
So the point there is find out what's happening with crop insurance and wait it out?
For right now.
Pete?
I would be trying to price some beans or put something underneath them. I would be holding off on corn because I think the corn acreage report and other things on corn could help raise those. Yesterday was a panic day. I don't know. Some people called it a bear trap. Maybe we'll bounce out of some of this next week. But February usually is low. So if we do see things bounce up, I'd be ready to catch up on old crop and sell new crop beans.
Well, Todd, I think I have to agree with Pete here that we have seen some extreme downward pressure. We've seen nothing but what seems like bad news. This economy has really dropped out of bed on us. We were looking for an Obama bounce here during this month, and it just the opposite has happened. It seems like the world, the Wall Street, is not happy with what he's said and done so far, or what Congress has done. I think the president himself has presented things quite well. I think that we're looking on some bounces up. We want to be pricing some of the new crop. We don't feel we have to be over 50% sold on any of this new crop grains at these levels by any means, because unfortunately we think that down the road 12 to 18 months we could see some inflation be creeping back into this market. So we're not as worried about new crop as we are about old crop.
Bridget, how do you view the wheat market?
I think today the wheat market actually fared pretty well. We saw that the nearby contract did close a little bit higher. There was some news that came in late that China came into the market and bought some more U.S. wheat. Fundamentally, I don't think wheat has a lot to stand on its own. I don't think it can be a leader right now. I think it's going to need, you know, corn or beans to move higher. But we will continue to keep an eye on those dry conditions in the southern plains and also in China.
How worried should we be about the Southern Plains crop? Actually, it's been under pretty dry conditions. There's supposed to be heat coming in, 70, 80 degrees, at least 70 degrees over the next week or so, maybe for more than a couple of days, and then back into the cold there. Will there be any concern?
There will be. I mean, it's still the winter months. Definitely when the spring starts come, or if we would happen to get an early frost. That could also play into the factor, but it's something we're going to need to keep a close eye on, but it's not at the top of the radar right now.
Anything else around the globe that you've been keeping an eye on? For instance, are you watching the strike in Argentina at this point for soybeans?
Todd, there's been talk of the strike down there. I think it helped give us a little strength one day in the middle of the week a little bit, but that sure seemed to be shoved to the background here as we come into today's trade, and that wasn't mentioned or talked about at all. But that is going to be something that is very big. They have large stocks down there. They had carriers over from last year. Yes, we've got a very drought-stricken, shortened crop down there, but we've got Brazil coming on now. They're probably about, they were 8% middle week when they talked about it. I think they said it looked like it's going to be a 42 million metric ton crop down there that way in Argentina now. So as we look at those things, that can become our new competition as with China along the way. But remember the last time they went on strike, it pushed all the Chinese business back to the U.S., and we are heavy loaded on our exports to start with now, and the more we could do that, the better it would be to getting the beans cleaned out of the U.S.
Wayne, I bet you started to push some pencils on crop insurance. What do you see as the potential for the different types of insurance for producers to use? What looks like it's going to play out best at this time?
Well, the government has changed the rules just a little bit this year, Todd. Number one, we don't have the limits. As to like last year, corn could only move a dollar and a half each way with CRC, and now we've taken those limits off basically two times the price that we start with. So we're in good shape as far as that goes on a big move. The other thing that the government has changed and changed dramatically is their amount of subsidy on the revenue policies. that involve enterprise units or your whole farm or all of your corn in one county, all your beans in one county, and they've their subsidies are in the 70% level on that. And it looks like we just have to look very, very closely at much lower insurance costs and using enterprise units as we go on this year. And I think that all the farmers, and I think Gary will be talking about that a lot. I know he put out on the website there as a nice little write-up that went along with it and explaining a lot of that on and then the ag web there. So I think we're going to be hearing about that a lot more March 10th if they haven't made some decisions. But please, as listeners out there, talk to your agents about this.
Now, speaking of March 10th, that is when the all-day ag outlook is scheduled for WILL over at the Beef House, if you've been wondering about that. And you can see more about it on our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Just look for our all-day ag outlook. It is March 10th. You'll find it about halfway down the page under the calendar tab. Don't forget to visit that website. You can listen to Commodity Week as a podcast, the closing and opening and pre-opening market reports there. It's all at WILLAG.org. Don't forget to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. When we come back, we'll talk with University of Illinois Extension ag economist Daryl Good. You're listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of WILL Public Radio for the farming world from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The first half of February has been exceptionally warm with several periods of rain and or snow. Temperatures have been running 5 degrees above average since February 1. However, winter has returned to Illinois towards the end of this week with below normal temperatures and plenty of winds. Precipitation has been above normal since February 1 with amounts ranging from less than an inch in northern Illinois to over 2 inches in southern Illinois, either in the form of rain or in the water content of the snow. Snowfall has been below normal for the month, and there's no significant snow cover in Illinois at this time. Next week, we can expect highs in the 30s and 40s and lows in the teens and 20s, pretty normal for this time of year. Our next chance for precipitation looks to be on Tuesday as another system rolls through the state. The week after next is expected to be both warmer and wetter than normal. The National Weather Service has predicted that the current weak La Nina event will continue into the spring. La Nina is when you have abnormally cold temperatures in the Pacific Ocean. Historically, they tend to give us dry springs, but the National Weather Service outlook for March through May is calling for near normal temperatures and precipitation for Illinois. For the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign, I'm state climatologist Jim Angel.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, February the 20th, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio are Kurt Kimmel, rather Pete Banhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Bridget Chenoweth of AgriVisor LLC out of Bloomington, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. On the line with us today, Daryl Good is our guest. He's an Extension Ag Economist with the University of Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Daryl.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I want to talk more about what Kim had to say with the basis contracts last night. Can you explain part of what we had a discussion about in Paris and how that really works and your thoughts on those basis contracts?
Well, basically, as Wayne indicated, their basis contract is what you're accomplishing is the same as selling the cash grain and buying futures. So you're taking your ownership out of the cash market, putting it in the futures market, because under a strong basis, small carry market, like we have in soybeans, they're saying there's no return to storage in basis appreciation. So the only way to make money is basically to bet on the futures price going up. So it's a way to capture the strong basis with risk that it could get much weaker as we move through the spring and summer. But you're still now speculating on higher prices. And so the choice becomes just sell the cash grain, take your money at a strong basis and walk away from it, or do you want to come back in with some re-ownership in the form of basis contracts?
So until you end up closing out that contract with another type of protection, you're really just a speculator in the marketplace with a cash basis that you may have, whether it's 10 over or 20 over or 30 over, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, you just moved your long speculation basically from the cash market to the futures market.
Daryl, as we look at things, it's been a disastrous week. Took us below a lot of the levels that a lot of the farmers thought were break-even as far as marketing new crop stuff. Do we have hope for these guys to get back on the positive side, or is this just going to be one of those really rough years?
Well, it's hard to point at something specific right now that would make you really optimistic, but kind of deep down, I think there is a sense that maybe this is too much too early on the downside. I know we're in a bit of uncharted territory with the economic situation the way it is. But to see this kind of break to these kind of price levels relative to the cost of production this early in the year, I think there may be a bit of an overreaction going on here. So, again, you say what specifically could turn us around, I'm not sure about that other than, you know, we will have episodes of supply concerns, I imagine, as we go through the next 6 months. But we would really hope for something more than that to give us maybe a permanent rebound. And we may have to wait on economic recovery for that to happen. And the problem is nobody knows when that's going to happen, whether that's 12 months or 5 years.
Daryl, if you look back 2 years, the prices that we have now would have been considered good prices. Has the last 2 years been an anomaly that we won't see again? Or do we really expect things to go to where we will have corn over four as a general rule instead of back in the two range? I mean, 250 to 280 up until a couple of years ago was considered a good price. Here we're at over three still, and everybody's saying, no, I can't sell. But we could go back there.
We're at higher prices, obviously, but we're not necessarily at more profitable prices than we were before. I think we have permanently escalated the cost of production and would suggest to me that we have permanently escalated price levels. I don't really envision us going back to the 250 level, but we just takes higher prices now to generate profit in both corn and soybeans. Getting back to $4 to $4.50 on a more regular basis, I firmly believe is going to take a recovery in the crude oil market, in the gasoline market, and that may have to wait again on economic recovery for that to happen. $70 to $80 crude oil, I think, would put us back pretty good stead on corn and soybean prices.
Hey, Daryl, what about for those farmers going into this, didn't really foresee this drop coming? I know a lot of farmers have some cash flow needs coming here in March as some cash rent starts to come due. What are you recommending those farmers do as far as making sales? Would you recommend corn or beans, or how would you have them approach that?
Well, I tend to agree that there's probably a little more upside potential if on corn relative to soybeans. So if I were making the choice today, I would tend to want to let go of the soybeans. Again, because of the extremely strong basis, lack of carry, I think that makes a better choice. On corn, we still are using a lot more corn for ethanol because of the mandates. As you mentioned earlier, we're seeing a real good pickup in export sales. And if the March 31 report does show a lack of increase in corn acres, that may be enough to give us a little bit of a bounce in corn. I'm pretty timid right now about thinking that could be very big, but maybe there is a little more potential with corn than soybeans at the moment.
Daryl, the ratio closed a bit this week. Can you talk about that ratio and what you think it means, if anything at all, to acreage?
Well, uh, I, think the problem, Todd, with looking just at ratios is that we really need to look at more detail of the economics of corn versus soybeans, and what makes corn more profitable relative to soybeans. That ratio varies a lot by region of the country, depending on corn yields versus soybeans. And importantly, this year, it makes a lot of difference what producers have paid or will pay for fertilizer, what cost ratio or what price ratio makes one crop more profitable than the other. Having said that, certainly the price action this week has left corn in a little more favorable light than soybeans as far as new crop plantings.
Darrell, the ethanol business has seemed to went down the tube with Veresen shutting down most of their plants on the auction block, other ones shutting down or having other problems like this. How soon till we can get ethanol back online and help this corn market?
Well, that's an important question, and it, in the short run, it really relies very much on the RFS, the renewable fuel standards, and those mandates. I mean, right now, we're basically saying, regardless of the economics, we're jamming ethanol into the fuel system because of the mandates, and we are requiring it to be made and blended. And if those mandates, those standards don't change, we're going to require a lot more of it as we move forward. The question then becomes whether there's enough pushback saying this is really uneconomic. Will there be enough pushback that the standards are changed to lower those requirements in the near term? Otherwise, we just continue to use it, whether it's really economical or not.
Darrell, on the economic mess that we're in, does your crystal ball give you any idea of how soon that will be turning, or is it just all no one has any clue whatsoever? It looks to me like until the economy turns, we're really not going to advance much in prices.
Well, to answer your first question, no, I don't have a crystal ball on that. You know, I read what the so-called experts say like everybody else, and there doesn't seem to be much agreement there in terms of what it would take to get a turnaround or how soon that's going to happen. So I don't think we can count on that in very quickly. I think we have to be talking several months at the most optimistic end of it. And between now and then, I think price increases that we do see will be mostly supply-generated, and those could be fairly substantial from time to time, but they don't tend to be permanent. And that's why we need to see the demand base come back.
Darrell, we appreciate you being with us for the day.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Darrell Good is an Extension Ag economist at the University of Illinois, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. Time now for a final word from our panelist in studio, Bridget Chenoweth.
We definitely saw a strong sell-off this week. We don't want anybody to make any panic sales. Just sit back and kind of regroup and look at the market again next week.
Pete Manhart?
Be ready to sell on bounces up. We did have a little turnaround in the Dow Friday. Maybe that will bring some better economic news that will help grain prices.
And Wayne Nelson?
Check that grain quality of the grain being stored, Todd. And I want to know where Darrell orders those crystal balls.
Well, he doesn't have one, but if we can find him, we'll get him ordered. Well, thank you very much for joining us here on this February 20th edition of Commodity Week. A special thanks go out to Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, Bridget Chenoweth of AgriVisor, and, of course, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities for being our panelist in studio. You can hear this program again, if you'd like, on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Don't forget to tune in for our closing mark report at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock Central Time daily. Or you can listen to it there at willag.org or on our phone line at 217-333-3434, a portion of the closing mark report. Those numbers updated at 10:30 and 3:15 daily. Have a good week. I'm Todd Gleason.